My name is Annie Laubert, and I'm a champion survivor of trafficking to tell you that God can heal you from any hurt that's ever happened to you. If He can do it for me, He can do it for you too. Hi, friends, and welcome again to Annie's Pink Chair, where we invite presence, inspire purpose, and ignite passion in people's hearts with the love of Jesus. Yes, I said it. Jesus. Yes, the Holy Spirit. Yes, God, but Jesus is the one that died for our sins and shed His blood so we all could get into heaven. Isn't that amazing? I don't know about y'all, but I want to throw a bonfire because we're celebrating. We're celebrating His life and even His death, because anytime we die, we get to be reborn just like He does. Amen. All right. I'm so excited to share with you today. I have someone that is very familiar with fire and actually was pulled into this advertisement on a radio show. My friend, her name is Tina DeCola, and I want to implore y'all to go back. If you're just listening to this fresh or watching this fresh, y'all need to go back to the first episode because we got her total background, who she is, her faith. We're going to get into that a little bit more on this next episode, but I want to introduce you to my friend. She's a mother of three, married for 25 years. Can I get a woo woo? And recently retired from Las Vegas and Rescue Dispatch after 22 years. You know, deuces, 22, that's the number of a builder. So I consider Tina a builder. Currently, Tina's an instructor with the Denise Amber Lee Foundation. The foundation is to help 911 professionals be their very best they can be. In other words, so they can save some people's lives, okay? Y'all, you ever get them kind of phone calls or you're trying to call someone for help and you keep getting customer service? Please wait your queue, caller number 9 in the queue. By the time you get to the person, now it's some accent that you can't even understand. Then I ask them, hey, Where are you based at? Oh, ma'am, that's none of your concern. Okay, listen, yes, it is, because first of all, I can't understand you. Second of all, I need to know that you're real, that you're not just some weirdo answering the phone. I got an emergency here. I need help with my credit card, aka just kidding. My friend Tina does way more than that. She helps save lives and teaches others how to do the same. Tina, thank you.
Thank you.
Again, deuces part two.
Yep. It's so great to be here.
Yeah. I'm so happy. Man, we're just chilling here today at the studio, having you sit in the chair in the beautiful fluff of the velvety, beautiful fuchsia pink chair. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about, you got that radio advertisement. You moved to Las Vegas, mm-hmm. You know, your dad and mom, and you guys originally were raised in Southern California,
correct?
Right? Mm-hmm. And you were part of 4-H, and were you ever a Brownie?
I was a Brownie for a little bit. And then we were in 4-H all the way up until high school. And I loved it. Yes. I love animals. I got my love of animals from my dad.
Oh.
And still love them. My children,
I will kiss all
them.
The cows and the horses on
I
their
know.
Face.
I know. I just love them. And dogs and cats. I'm just an animal person.
I love tortoises. Even though they're not animals.
But they're so sweet.
They're my friends.
Yeah.
They can live like 100 some years, especially the desert tortoise is a $50,000 fine. Did you know this? If you pick one up crossing the road, if you bring it home, you can get fined $50,000. Because of inflation, it's probably $100,000 now. Hey, they got to make money. The state does somehow. So you moved to Las Vegas. How old were you?
I was about 31, 32.
Just a baby.
Yeah, just a baby.
I'm saying I wish I was 31 again, except have the same brain and heart that I have right now.
Have the 59-year-old brain that would, you know.
Yeah.
I would, yeah.
And a younger body, obviously. Right. We want the young body. So you heard this on 97.1 The Point, mm-hmm. which is a rock station.
Yeah.
Which I think I know a couple people that work there. My husband knows them too, because mm-hmm. he's in a band, but that's neither here nor there, another conversation. And you heard this advertisement. Tell me about that advertisement, how it sparked your ears.
When I heard 911, I was like, you know what? I bet you I can do that. I've been doing medical stuff. I bet you I could.
And so you've seen an emergency room.
100%. That's where I first started.
What was that like being in that emergency setting?
It's very, very fast. And you have to be quick on your feet. You have to go, go, go.
Yeah.
And you have to always be in go mode.
Right.
And the same as behind the scenes, being on the phone, it's the same. You're always in fight or flight. Mm-hmm. And it's funny that when I retired, I had high blood pressure before I retired.
I'm not saying anything, girl.
Just all kinds of issues. I was taking medication, right? Mm-hmm. And now 3 months into retirement, not being in fight or flight, which took a while for me to kind of calm down.
People might not understand what that means, Tina, because we have fight, flight, freeze, and fawn. And they're all four different descriptions, but they can all become one very quickly, right? So explain what that means. Are we talking about cortisol levels?
We are. My cortisol levels, when my doctor checked them, there wasn't even a reading for how high it was. Because when you're when you're wearing your headset and in the room, there's half of the room is 911 call takers, and the other half of the room are the dispatchers sending out the...
Okay, so they're sending out the
They're sending out the ambulances and fire trucks and things, right? So when you have that headset on and that call gets in your ear, you're ready. And you're always like this because I can't tell you how many times the first thing that dropped in my ear were screams. Blood-curdling screams. No. So, and you have to, you have to stop and you have to, and you're like this, right? Because that's not normal for anyone to hear day after day, right? So you have to try your best to get that person's address, to get them calm enough to speak to you about where they are, if it's an apartment complex, what building they're in, you know, those types of things, right?
Who the victim is, it,
and,
whether
and
it's
what's
them?
Going on. But we first getting that address is the first thing. Is at least we can get the units going there.
Right, right, right.
So just getting them and one call, if it's okay that I talk about.
Do you use the GPS on the phone locations ever?
We do.
I mean, the legal part of it anyway.
Yeah, because it's called rapid response and that type of thing. But I had a mom, her daughter was choking on a hot dog. And mom was hysterical. Her toddler, bless her heart, was just eating like normal. So this is something mom witnessed. Very far, they lived very, very far. And she kept going from 1 to 10. So you're constantly having to keep them calm, get what you need, and we were doing the Heimlich over the phone. We're doing CPR over the phone. Baby lived and did fantastic. Mom did a great job, but you're like this the whole time, right? You're stiff, and I was always holding onto my desk. So it takes a toll not just on your mind and your heart, but on your body, your blood pressure, etc. So that's what I mean by you were always always stiff.
Vicarious trauma.
Yeah, absolutely.
So. You are connected to that person.
Mm-hmm, 100%.
And you can't separate yourself.
No.
People will ask us to, but sometimes it's not possible.
You have to a point so you can, you're the voice of reason. You're the calm in the midst of chaos, right?
And we're the one giving direction, right?
100%. So you're telling them blindly, put the baby on the ground, do this, cover her mouth with your mouth, blah, blah, blah. You know, you're giving all these instructions and talking them through it, patting them on the back. You're doing a great job. We're almost there. We're coming down Bonanza. We're almost with you. You know, that type of thing.
2 blocks away.
Right. So just that's your responsibility. And not having empathy or if you're burnout or et cetera, and you're on the phone, how can you be calm? How can you be kind and caring?
How do you do that?
Right. And that's, and it's, people ask me all the time, how did you just be Tina DiCola like all the time? And I would ride my bike. I still do up in the Red Rock area. Mm-hmm. And I would by myself and just look at the beautiful blue skies. Yeah. Thank the Lord for what we have to look at, because the desert is quite beautiful.
It is gorgeous. I used to hate the desert, but
it really
I'm from Minnesota, but man, Tina, I love the fact that I don't have to be stuck in snow.
Right.
I love the heat of the sun on my skin. Mm-hmm. Oh.
And there's a lot of beauty here.
Smells good.
Yeah.
When it rains, it smells fantastic.
It does. And it's so cleansing.
Yes.
And I plant things and just little things that
I want to stomp on all the scorpions when it happens too.
Yeah, I'm very scared of them. But just kind of looking around, and just I would ride every weekend.
Just to get your mind off things, huh?
Just to get it out. And it works, you know.
Do you guys have counselors?
We do.
Assigned. And when did that start?
That started just before the October 1 shooting, actually. We have a peer support team that I'm a part of. I'm a part of it now as a retiree.
What took so long, Tina?
We had it in place.
Did people think that, I mean, I think about war and the war veterans and all the police officers, the dispatchers, the firefighters, EMTs, like, what part of we need help don't we understand?
The suicide rate for first responders is very high.
Are you serious?
It's very, very high because
of that. Can you say the percentage or not?
I don't really know the percentage, but a first responder will die by suicide before they'll die in a line of duty death type thing. So, and dispatchers are finally being, they're finally being added to the study. And
well, it's about time.
Well, and it's that suck it up attitude. And we were talking about training. When I first started training, it was sink or swim.
Yep.
Throw you out with the sharks kind of thing, you know, and that's how it was. And there's no crying.
Pull up your pants. Put your boots on. Let's walk.
Yep. Suck it up, buttercup, and get out there and take that call. And the first call, one of the calls I took, someone actually committed suicide with me on the phone, and we weren't trained for that. And so I felt like I failed. Yeah. And it was devastating.
Was this 22 years, the first year?
It was the first three. I think it was in the first 3 years. So I was still a baby dispatcher is what we call it.
And you got on the phone and what, can I ask you, how did that go? I mean,
it was a domestic situation. And when he saw law enforcement, he shot himself. So I thought I failed in my responsibility of taking care of the public.
Yeah.
And so I seeked out classes on suicide awareness. Mm. And I wanted to be better at how to handle that. So I got involved with our peer team, and our peer team was instrumental in the healing of our department during after the shooting.
Wow.
And sadly, we've had a few more. And I worry about my dispatchers because, you know, you take that call. And guess what? You're on to the next. You're on to the next.
That
downtime is not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's busy.
Yeah.
So, but it's now more recognized that this is what first responders need.
Yeah.
They need that healing time.
Yeah.
And they need someone to talk to.
Can I ask, you know, do you think it's a good living or is it not? I believe anyone on the front lines, we're not getting paid enough. Just not.
I think it's getting better.
I hope so.
I'm hoping that dispatchers will be soon classified as first responders. It's happening in other states. It's not happened here yet, but it will. I know it will.
Vegas is a little slow.
Yeah, but we'll get there.
It's like we're walking in a little bit of mud.
Yeah.
A little bit of mud.
Kind of back
stuck.
In the good old days kind
get
of thing.
Get the corral going. Come on. Get the horses in the gate. Come on.
But taking that call from a victim, that's what changed my life.
Well, I'll go ahead and share real quick. But when the neighbor had called 911, my ex-pimp, and I had taken the broom to his car because he had stolen some money of mine. Of course, he's a pimp, duh. Mm-hmm. But he had choked me out, and my hand was bleeding. And there's a scar right here. I don't know if you can see it on my finger, but my finger was cut wide open. And when I saw the ambulance, they pretty much strapped me in, threw me on the gurney, and then they took belts to lock me in. Mm-hmm. Is that crazy? Again, this is in the 90s, okay? And I had my pajamas on no underwear, just pajamas. They were plaid. I'll never forget. They were green, purple, and green, purple, and a little bit of blue. And they brought me to the hospital to get stitches. But the entire time I was there, Dina, I was strapped in like a perpetrator. Mm-hmm. And I was screaming, help, help. And nobody would hear me. And they left me in a room by myself and looked at my chart, threw it back down, and then shut the door. I mean, it was insane. Mm-hmm. I think I was in there for 12 hours. And then they released me to jail. So I had to serve time in jail. And where did that go wrong? My goodness. Especially since I was a victim. Mm-hmm. And that's why, everyone, I want you to listen and look at me right now, because this is why Tina's here. Because a situation like mine or any other victim, this was happening before. This is not acceptable to have someone get arrested for a reversal domestic violence situation and them not understanding what that looked like. And I'm so thankful. So tell us, you know, you had your career, mm-hmm. you saw people falling off the grid, burning out, you're getting on your bike, trying to like break free from the burnout. And as you started heading towards retirement, what changes were taking place were part of?
I started to teach a lot more. Taking that call, there was no training for dispatchers on how to recognize trafficking victims,
what questions to ask.
Exactly. So I started seeking out anybody that would talk to me. Mm-hmm. And you and I met. You helped me tremendously. And that's when the protocol that Las Vegas Fire and the fire departments follow is in great part to you and other survivors experience I've had, because that's what I wanted to bring into the training. Yeah. And so it's not just the awareness part, but it's the how to interact with the victims part. If we have to strap you on the gurney, for example, like I was in a traffic accident 5 mm-hmm. years ago, I had to be put on the gurney. They had to cut my sleeve.
Break your bones in your neck, right?
And my arm was fractured in 5 spots. So they had to cut my sleeve and all that. So what I told them was simply explain to the person what you're doing.
Yes.
I need to cut your sleeve. I need to take a look at your injuries. Yes. Are you comfortable with that?
Yeah.
I need to put an IV in your arm. My name is Tina. I'm trained not a vampire. At this, et cetera. And I know, are you okay with that? I need to close the doors to the back of the ambulance. And here's a big burly guy and a young small girl like yourself. That's scary, right?
Yeah. We think we're going to a trap house.
Right. So simply explaining what you're doing, make them a part of what's happening. And that is a big part. Get to eye level. Don't stand over someone with your arms crossed, especially.
And then shake your head like,
right. What is, watch your face. Watch your face.
Wow, your record's pretty bad here, young lady.
Oh, we're running on you again.
Oh, yeah,
you
know. 25th time you've been arrested, huh?
Right.
What else do you do, huh?
Right.
You just whore at night or?
Exactly.
I mean, these are the comments I would hear.
And it's unacceptable.
From Metro. Mm-hmm. I did not hear it from the EMT, but Metro did that to me.
And when we talked about the EMT that was disgusted that you had
about the cocaine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the cocaine.
And
that was hard.
Unacceptable. So that's the type of thing that I train. I train the dispatchers to be calm.
I still wonder where that lady is, by the way.
Yeah.
The redheaded girl with curly hair.
But that's just not acceptable. And I think as people evolve and times change, and the training that I've done throughout the fire departments and the private ambulance companies, they're just, wow, I think I've ran on a call like that. Tina, I think I should have, I could have, I would have. So that awareness is key.
Oh, wow. And then that's the thing. The light bulb goes off. Mm-hmm. And then I wonder how much guilt can get a hold of someone after realizing, oh, my gosh, that was a victim. Mm-hmm. And I royally messed that up. Mm-hmm. How do you fix something like that?
What I tell them is it's okay to be wrong.
Yeah.
If you suspect it and you get that spidey sense and you really think, gosh, this something's not right here, it's okay to vet it. And if you're wrong, you're wrong. Then you err on the side of the patient. Mm-hmm. That's what the training is about. It's right. Okay to be wrong. The foundation that I teach for, the reason that foundation exists.
Now, how did this happen? Because
to teach?
What made you retire? I'm just curious because you love doing this.
I do.
You want to help people. And were you a supervisor in your position before you retired?
I was.
What was your day-to-day duties, basically?
I was a supervisor, day shift, and I would be in charge of scheduling, making sure that all the positions were covered.
You better show up.
Yeah. I even took 911 calls because we were usually short-staffed.
How often did that happen? Tell me.
Every day. So I took calls every – I love taking calls.
I ask how many operators are allowed per population? Per capita?
Well, for us, because we're the secondary, Metro's the primary.
This is something I shouldn't be asking publicly.
Well, no, it's fine. Because okay. Like for us, we want to make sure that we have 11, at least 11 to 12 people on duty and a supervisor on every, pretty much every hour.
For three?
Every hour.
3 million people?
For that, I don't know. But for like-
Well, some of them are children, obviously, yeah. Not going to be using the phone.
But. Right. Oh, they're actually better when they better the sometimes.
IPad. Take the iPad yeah, and start, they, or Samsung, start dialing out on the tablet.
But Metro's, they're staffed very well. They just hired an amazing group. I met with them yesterday. And
someone I know? Huh? Probably. Someone I know, maybe?
I don't know, but they were a great group of people, cool. Young people that are starting into this career.
You got to get them young.
Exactly.
So they'll give up.
And so they bring a different perspective That's as right. well.
But and the with work the, ethic, do you train on how important it is? Okay.
I did.
Y'all get mad at me right now. All y'all, millennials, zennials, yeah. Don't get mad at me. I'm going to say something to you right now. Having a job is not lily padding, okay? Mm-hmm. Let me try this. Let me try that. Well, let me try this. Well, I get to because I want to because I can. No. That is unethical as far as I'm concerned.
Agreed.
Number two, you have to get your roots into something, your teeth into something that you know is your calling. Mm-hmm. See, because when God calls you, and I believe, Tina, God called you, mm-hmm. and that's a totally different thing than being given a job.
Right. I
like,
agree.
It's in your heart. Mm-hmm. We talked about passion when I introduced us. The passion to ignite that fire of love for people. Mm-hmm. That is a calling. Did you start doing this because you want to help and love people?
I do.
See?
And
that
I still
separates
do.
You from the riffraff.
But it's also when I was training the academies, I would tell them.
We got 4 minutes left.
You
got
to show up. You be the person that you are going to relieve. Be the person that you want to sit next to. Be the person that you want to talk to on the phone or on the radio to the crews. Be that person. Be the person that your family member would want to call.
Absolutely.
And when my children wanted to get jobs because they were all going through college, I said, if you apply – that is your responsibility to that employer.
That's right.
That is your shift. I don't care if you're hungover. I don't care if your friends are having a party.
Come on, girl. Yeah,
that's your responsibility.
Oh, holla. We
your
need a
employee.
Bunch of ding, 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 ding.
But because that's your commitment.
Yeah.
You asked to work there. They didn't ask you. You asked them. That's your commitment. And all three of my children, but as parents too, you know this, we have to set the example as mm-hmm. well, mm-hmm. right? So.
I don't see people like you coming and going anymore.
We're a dying breed, Annie.
It's Generation X.
Yeah.
And also.
I'm a baby boomer.
Almost the same thing.
Yeah.
The X has kind of got the coattails of the baby boomers. Baby boomers have extremely amazing work ethic. Mm-hmm. And the Xers, they wanted to be like their parents.
Yes.
So, and are entrepreneurial. They're get it, bite your teeth, grab it, clamp it down. Let's go. Let's do this. Let's be this. Mm-hmm. Let's look forward to, I never say the word retire because I don't think I'm ever going to retire. But Tina, we have 2 minutes left. And are you open to number three or not? because I want to walk through with you. What does it look like when someone calls 911?
Sure.
Can you do that?
I can do
that. So let's talk right now. Let's give right now. There's your camera.
Okay.
You got 2 minutes.
Okay.
In a couple of sentences, the best advice you could give someone that you've learned in your life so far.
The best advice when calling 911?
No, the best advice for you as a person.
As a person?
In life.
Follow your passion.
Yeah.
Follow your passion. Be the person that you want to be, but also be the person that you would want to be around, right? And again, like I said, record your parents.
Yeah.
Record your parents. Be present with your family. You can always pick up a shift. You can always work overtime. You can always go do whatever to make money. There's money everywhere.
It's good.
But be present. Be with your children. You're never going to get that time back. Time is a thief.
Yes. And tell them, by the way, because we're almost done, where can people contact you?
You can contact me on Facebook, Tina DeCola, or you can email me at tina@deniseamberlee.org.
Yes. Thank you so much,
Thank
Tina.
Thank you, Annie.
We're coming to part three, and then we're done, I promise.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm kind of like grabbing you because I want to get a little bit more out of you.
No, you're fine.
Because I want people to learn. So, everyone, thank you so much for joining Annie's Pink Chair today. My name is Annie Lobert, and I'll see you next time on Annie's Pink Chair with Tina, our last and final episode. Stay tuned. We'll see you next time.
Hi, friends. It's Annie Lobert from Annie's Pink Chair, and I am actually on location at our nonprofit ministry called the Destiny House. And do you feel and see the presence that's going on here? The peace, the calmness, the comfort, the beautiful grass, the trees. This is what each woman comes to when she enters our Destiny House program for sex trafficking victims.
I'm Nikki. I'm the education outreach coordinator. I've seen girls come in here and just broken, just in need of something. And we give them a gift box when they first arrive, and then the look on their face, because their trafficker has taken everything from them, the look on their face is just amazing and precious. And just watching them grow in Christ throughout their journey here is incredible.
Would you please consider partnering with us monthly? Or just send us a one-time donation. Just go to our website at hookersforjesus.net and click on donate. And listen, your donation goes to a good cause, and it's tax deductible. Thank you so much.
My name is Annie Lobert, and I'm a champion survivor of trafficking to tell you that God can heal you from any hurt that's ever happened to you. If He can do it for me, He can do it for you too.